My name is Keith Daniels, a partner at Karl Marx Advisors, and today I'm here with one of my colleagues, Jonathan Killian, a managing director who works in the healthcare space. So healthcare has been a very robust area for Karl Marx Advisors over the past couple years. What are some of the emerging trends that we're seeing in this industry?
You have the very real challenges around affordability, around coverage issues, around policy concerns, and all these are kind of creating a melting pot of both tremendous opportunity and excitement, but with also very real stresses and challenges on healthcare companies.
So one of the areas I think we've seen impacted is higher debt levels. Adjustments to EBITDA seem to be becoming more prevalent in the space. We see that in a lot of different industries, but how are those things specific to healthcare?
Right. It kind of goes back to the strong demand. I mean, we're seeing a lot of investor appetite. We're seeing loose covenant levels. We're seeing high leverage multiples. So a lot of debt is being used to make either initial acquisitions or strategic acquisitions. So healthcare companies are finding themselves with a significant balance sheet to have to support from their operations.
All right. So within those things, obviously, we're seeing a lot of challenges, but obviously, higher debt levels, adjustments to EBITDA, obviously, are impacting this industry. It's impacting a lot of industries that we're seeing anymore. But how are these things specific to the healthcare industry?
There's a combination of a lot of competition plus an availability of relatively inexpensive debt, which has helped elevate valuation levels, but also resulting in cap structures that tend to be debt heavy on companies. We're also seeing valuations or deals being done at EBITDA that include a lot of pro forma add backs. So these are not necessarily cash EBITDA levels.
So I'd imagine certain lenders find it potentially difficult to lend into this environment. They don't have the traditional working capital assets like inventory or facilities necessarily to lend against, with really their only working capital asset being accounts receivable. And as companies are looking at that, I would imagine with reimbursement pressures and higher amounts of default, that their willingness to advance on that accounts receivable may be also be coming into play.
So we've been on a number of deals that involve an asset-based lender, ABL lender, who, made the loan and the receivables are of high quality or with large companies. But when companies get into a challenging situation and may need liquidity or there's risk to potential service disruptions, there's a real risk that the value of that collateral erodes or is difficult to monetize. And in particular, if there's ever kind of a worst case scenario where you have to work that out and do some sort of orderly liquidation, the cost of collecting it, the cost of keeping a staff to support it, the documentation requirements can significantly erode the ultimate net recoveries for the company and the ABL lender.
Oh, those are great points and certainly things for both lenders and companies to think about with regards to lending practices into this space. Let's switch to regulatory issues. Obviously, navigating the regulatory environment has been a challenge for healthcare companies for years now. What things are we seeing currently out in the market?
Yeah, so the regulatory environment continues to be intense. Certainly, I think we see it in a couple different ways. We continue to see a reasonably active legal environment where the DOJ or, state regulatory agencies are pursuing fraud claims or other operating improprieties. You're also seeing, we've seen this in the behavioral health space, where you're having both a federal regulatory view, but also a corporate view, with specifically Google changing some of their algorithms around monitoring, changing how you can reach out to individuals afflicted with substance abuse, addiction. In addition to regulatory issues, we're seeing certainly healthcare companies affected by broader regulatory issues like the push for higher minimum wage or living standards. So I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, but when we talk about one of the stresses for healthcare companies, you're seeing the regulatory pressures both kind of specific to healthcare, but also overlap into healthcare from broader regulatory efforts.
So I would imagine with the regulatory environment, a key way of navigating that and making sure that you're dealing with those things appropriately is to have a strong compliance department and making sure that you're adhering to the rules of healthcare to avoid any of those pitfalls.
Yeah, absolutely. Having both, you want the strong compliance department for any, you know, company that you already have, making sure that you're billing appropriately, your protocols are appropriate, but also specifically to the investors out there and the lenders that are out there diligencing a potential deal. You want to make sure that those things are, you have a solid understanding about the practices and the procedures that the companies have in place. So these issues can outlast any potential restructuring that you may, or in-court process that you may go through.
So you made reference a little bit ago to some of the labor issues that are out there. Obviously, a lot of companies with low unemployment, increasing minimum wage, are under a lot of pressure, you know, more scarce resources, under a lot of pressure from a labor cost standpoint. Can you address some of those issues that you're seeing?
One of the issues that we see a lot in our, especially in our middle market companies, is a heavy reliance on people business. I mean, healthcare still fundamentally is a local business. You need to have, in most cases, you have interactions between a patient and a care provider or a service provider that happens locally. So whether it's, you know, administrating care, diagnosis, or providing a service, collecting a specimen, delivering a product, healthcare companies often have a huge amount of employee resources. Unemployment right now for healthcare service professionals is right around 2% at the end of Q1. So a little bit more than half of what the national average is. So you have a workforce that's highly in demand that has financial incentives or incentives to move to an opportunity that may be better for them personally and professionally, whether that's more money, more reliable hours, a better work environment, what have you be. So companies are challenged to recruit, retain, and maintain the workforce that they need at the current cost basis. So, you know, what we're seeing and what we've helped and worked with companies do is trying to figure out ways to improve the productivity and efficiency of their staff, right? So you need to make sure you have route optimization, or at least you have a means in which to manage the productivity so you are able to make your employees as efficient and productive as possible. In addition to the low unemployment numbers and the challenges of retaining and recruiting staff, you get the supply and demand factors driving up wage, but you also get the regulatory issues driving up wage. I mean, we had a client in New York that was subject to the wage parity law, which increased minimum wage 20-30% from where it was a couple of years ago, or increased the working wage from 20-30% from where it was a couple of years ago. There isn't the flexibility in the revenue or in the rate to absorb those types of kind of structural expense changes to these types of businesses. So you're just seeing profitability compressed and you know, financial challenges. I mean, what can you do to offset it? I mean, there's you know, any number of levers you can try to move. You try to grow productivity. You try to make sure that you plan routes in the most efficient way without burning out your staff. I mean, there are things that you can do, but when you have kind of such structural changes, especially when there's, you know, at the lower end of the wage scale where it's being regulated upon you, there's not a ton you can do other than try to right-size your business and realize that, you know, without those staff, you're in a difficult position.
Obviously, managing the labor cost in these healthcare companies is very important in navigating these issues that you've just described, particularly in these service-oriented companies that rely on quite a bit of labor to deliver their product. But some of these companies, I believe, are more technologically oriented and really are tech companies sort of disguised as people-centric companies. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And I think one that plays right into as you diligence and as you think about businesses and really what is their secret sauce, so to speak, when pulled off, tremendous, you know, it's great and successful. But what we've seen in a number of our situations is where you get this hybrid business, you get this business that outwardly facing is a tech business that uses, you know, some sort of platform to reach their clients. But in the background, you have, you know, a people-intensive business that is either executing on the service or is programming and creating the tech component. So one thing that we work with and advise clients on is, you know, keep track of kind of the types of services that you're selling in. Are you seeing creep in your support staff, in your IT staff, you know, where it's growing from 5, 10, 15% over the years? Are you seeing slower delivery times? Is it taking longer to engineer solutions to customers because they're getting more complex, more specific, more individualized? And kind of culminating all of this, your profitability by customer, make sure you're looking at that relative to the actual inputs it's taking to service, because you may be finding while you're growing top line, you're not growing the bottom line at all, especially in the middle market where you're constantly getting pressure from all sides to deliver the best product and to do it at the most efficient and effective cost price.
What do you think the outcome to companies are as a result of all this?
I mean, I firmly believe that the outcome is going to be continued innovation. You're going to see winners and losers. You're going to see consolidation. I think the pace will quicken up. I think companies who have continued to try to evolve, the evolutionary cycle will speed up, and you'll have bigger players. It's an industry that has lots of opportunities, has lots of tailwinds. A fair amount of headwinds for certain players, and kind of plays into our holistic service offering.
Yeah, it sounds like healthcare obviously continues to be a very exciting area. So with that, thank you, Jonathan, for your time.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.